Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Smashy Business Show. I am Abdul Majid Awan and I have a new host with me, Neola. Please welcome her. Hi Neola, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for this beautiful welcome.
How are you feeling sitting on the Smashy Business Show?
I feel
show?
So honored to be on the Smashy Business
you
Show.
You feel honored or confused? Just say the truth.
No, I'm definitely honored because I was working backstage and now I am on the show today.
Yeah. So Neola will be joining us and we're going to discuss a lot of stuff, but quickly today because we have two guests joining us later in the show. They're from Holo. They're the founders, Michael Hunter and Aaron Summerhill. So they're coming. They'll join us. They'll talk about the mortgage market in the UAE and in the Middle East. But before that, let's talk about stories. Business news. First of all, let's discuss Expand North Star. It ended yesterday. It was a four-day event, started on Sunday, went through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday was the last day. 1,800 exhibiting startups were there, according to their press release. Not me, not anyone. No one was counting. It was 10 halls, a lot of startups. But they say it was 1,800 plus. Apart from that, they said that they attracted nearly 70,000 visitors.
That's a
lot. So that's a lot of people. So yeah, you can follow us on Instagram, go to our stories and see whatever was happening there. So you'll get a lowdown of all the cool things that were there from the startups. Apart from that, we have Jitex happening right besides Expand North Star. Expand North Star was mainly for startups. Jitex Global is mainly for the established players in the market. It also hosts a few startups, but usually those startups are Series B or C ones. Jitex Global got a very funny review from Botim founder, Abdullah Abu Sheikh. He said that the very first pointer in the review was traffic.
True. Yeah. I read that and he mentioned about the amount of deals that happened with the company Oracle, which was groundbreaking.
So, yeah, it was a funny review, but it ended with a very good note that it's become such a big event and it is like the highlight in the calendar of the UAE events now. So yeah, with events comes traffic and a lot of other stuff, but RDA is doing a very good job. As told to you in our Love in Dubai show, which happened in the morning, the RTA is managing everything from traffic to people on the ground. They have, I was just talking to one of the people outside and they have like security, police, helpers, volunteers after every like 5 minutes walk.
True.
So and you're always comfortable. Needed, yeah. If you get lost, Dubai World Trade Center is very big and it's expanding always. So if you get lost, you can always find a volunteer and get help. So that is happening at Jitex. One small introduction of our CEO and founder of Augustus Media, Richard Fitzgerald. He is speaking at Jitex today from 2:30 to 3:30 in Hall 3 at the Dubai World Trade Center. So if you want to catch him talking about creative storytelling for the digital age, and with him, he'll have a whole panel and a host. You can always go there, 2:30 to 3:30. Remember that. You can always also access the agenda of Jitex Global on their website to see what you want to attend, what you don't want to attend, but do attend Richard's talk. It's going to be very interesting. Let's move on to the main stories. After a whole lecture, let's move on to the main stories. Neola, Abu Dhabi, through Jitex and Expand North Star, they've done a lot of things. They've announced a lot of things. The three main, the highlights were that Khazna, which is a data center company which has been working in the UAE
it's
for
a
long time.
$1 billion.
Yeah. They were acquired by G42 in 2020. Now they are building UAE's largest data center.
That's
so
huge.
That's the news coming out. Apart from that, Core42, which is another G42 company. G42 is basically owned by Sheikh Thanoon. He was recently in Times 100 list for the most powerful people in AI in the world right now. And it's run by him. So Core42 is another G42 company. They've partnered with AMD. AMD, if you don't know, if you're a millennial my age, like 30 plus, you would have seen the old PCs.
True.
And when you open them, there'll be like AMD Athlon processors.
I had to search that up before coming.
Yeah. So she's grown up with the laptop. We've grown up with like giant PCs and monitors and everything. I also used a floppy disk in my time. But then AMD is one of the processor makers.
True.
So Intel is one, AMD is one. They're like the two biggest players in the world for processors. So they've partnered with AMD and machine learning. It will help the machine learning technologies.
And they're even like developing ways to enhance the whole security and privacy sector of it.
She's also doing AI, so she can tell you a lot more about it.
Exactly.
And apart from that, Abu Dhabi government announced GovGPT to enhance the skill set and the time management of their government employees. How does a company working with AMD, a processor making company, help? They're the whole press release was about enhancing AMD, AI capabilities, security capabilities.
So like, how does it help? Like with Abu Dhabi government having so many new AI solutions, like just as you mentioned, the GovGPT and the AI audio platform, there's a lot of security checks that also come into it, and which is very, very important. Like having a government sector focus completely on AI solutions, it's like you're giving it all the possible security information to it.
Yeah.
So if you do not have the right amount of proper solution protecting your information, it's like a national security crisis. And at this point, having such a beautiful, like, this investment is worth it. Like, even if it's in $1 billion, it's completely worth it if you're talking about the entire security of a whole country.
I was actually reading a report recently from, I forgot the company name, but I was reading a report. It said that cybersecurity, the startups which are coming up in globally and in the Middle East, they're getting more and more less investment in them now.
Right.
So throughout 2024, a lot of people have backed away from investing in cybersecurity startups. Do you think that's a bad move?
That's a very bad move, I believe, because if you're not investing in cybersecurity, you cannot just blindly trust any AI solution you see online.
We recently had a data breach as well. I don't remember the company.
Like,
it's
remember
a whole
when the whole Windows crashed down recently, like a month or a half ago?
Yeah.
It was terrible because, like, they had to shut down the entire system worldwide to find the cause. So if you do not have the right solutions and backup set up, it's going to be, like, a terrible move. So you need to invest in cybersecurity.
So this article says this: in September 2024, Meta, Apple, Twitter, all of them announced that they've had cybersecurity attacks.
Right.
Thankfully, they were not breached, like the security was intact, but they reported attacks. But some of the companies here in the list say that their data was actually stolen and like millions of dollars were asked in return for it. Investors, please invest in cybersecurity startups. It's the need of the hour. I think it's also about the monopoly. Some of the big players, when they come in, there's like always 2-3 big players and everyone goes to them.
True.
They charge a lot, but I guess startups, because they have such low operational costs, they can always jump in and be like, we'll give you the same security for a cheaper price.
I think even Jitex had like a whole area dedicated to the entire cybersecurity, which is very important when you're promoting other solutions.
Thank you so much, Niola, for your insights. I just, in the middle of the show, realized that she is studying that. Apart from that, Abu Dhabi to Dubai commute has been contracted from 2 hours, nearly 2 hours. Even on a less busy day, it was 1.5 hours or 1 hour 40 minutes in the car. Etihad Rail has announced the timings for their future passengers. They're still not operating passenger service. They're just doing freight service right now. But Etihad has announced, so it'll take on the dot 57 minutes. And to back this claim up, I would tell you the story of Dubai Metro. Because Dubai Metro recently, when it had its anniversary, 15th anniversary, they announced that it was 99.something% on time always. So Dubai UAE is very good with this. So Etihad Rail, 57 minutes, Abu Dhabi to Dubai, Dubai to Abu Dhabi. Apart from that, they also announced times for other routes. Abu Dhabi to Al Ruwais, 70 minutes, and Abu Dhabi to Fujairah in 105 minutes. That's a very long distance because Abu Dhabi is like one corner, Fujairah is the next corner. So just 105 minutes, that's like 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah,
That is the amount of time you take to go from Dubai to Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Even I live in Discovery Gardens, it's very near Batuta Mall, so it's like very near Abu Dhabi as well. Even then, I get 1 hour 40 minutes at least on the map.
So this Etihad Rail will even like cover like the coastal, the mountains, or anywhere. So it's like even if you're on tours or even if you want to go out on a long weekend, not necessarily take your cars anymore because you have the Etihad Rail.
We all know about Euro Rail, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The setup, I've never been on it, so sorry if I say something wrong, but I've heard a lot about it. A lot of friends who go there, a lot of people, they say that you take a whole train tour of the whole area and you see all the sights from your mirror, from your window.
Yeah.
So I guess this will become something like that, and it will become one of the tourist attractions, to be sure.
Sure.
You start from Abu Dhabi and then you can stop at every stop, come out, spend a day, take the train and go again, I guess.
It's like a whole one-day tour that you will have.
Yeah.
And much more, I believe it'll be economical as well, because like how Dubai Metro was economical for everybody, I believe Etihad Rail will also be like on a reasonable price for all.
And it looks good. I saw the pictures yesterday of the insides. They opened it and showed it to some press and some people only, just one trip. And it's like a VIP section, 2x2, two people in front. They had a table set up. So I guess it will have classes like all the other rails. It will have luxury area and then it will have the normal area. But again, very good. It's part of the 50 billion dirham UAE Railways program, just to mention. And it's not just that this Etihad Rail is going to work. Apart from that, a lot of other initiatives are also in plan. It will create 9,000 jobs and related to the railway sector. So by 2030, it's planning to add 9,000 jobs to the UAE. That's a good thing. Two passenger stations are also announced, Sakkamkam in Fujairah and University City in Sharjah. Hind would have been very happy. Hind used to do the show with me for 2 months, and she studied in the University City, right? American University of Sharjah. So students, will get a lot of benefit from this if they're traveling from one emirate to the other. Apart from that, RTA, again, JITEX, sorry, but a lot is happening at JITEX. RTA recently announced a student NOL card. So students who will take that card will have 50% off on all travel,
which is
using Dubai Metro and the buses and all the transport that comes under RTA. Best of luck. Enjoy the money that you save and maybe buy a new iPhone with it. So trains will feature 15 luxury carriages. Just saw that. Stylish interiors, multiple seating classes, modern amenities like TV screens showing live updates. We've seen that in aeroplanes. So they're trying to replicate the whole experience of an airplane in
a train. And Dubai is known for its comfort, luxury, and
comfort and luxury. Two words. That's the best thing about Dubai, UAE, Abu Dhabi, whichever emirate you go.
Anywhere you go.
Yeah. Lastly, small story, big impact. Bolt, which is a universal, very big European company, which is famous for its e-hailing services. It has partnered with Dubai Taxi Company. Just to give you a glimpse of what Dubai Taxi Company is, it is a fleet of 6,000 taxis. So they've partnered with it. Now soon, by the end of this year, they're trying to launch the Bolt app here. And then you'll be able to access 6,000 taxis across the UAE, right now Dubai, but sooner or later they'll move on to Abu Dhabi and other Emirates. We recently saw Yango partnered with Abu Dhabi Taxi Company. So a lot of people, a lot of players, apart from Kareem and Uber, are entering the market. And I guess it will make taxi rides cheaper. They're very expensive.
They're very, Kareem is also like pretty expensive on the rides.
And Kareem partnered with Hala Taxi, so if you post order a Hala Taxi or a Kareem, it's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah, but it takes you like a lot of money. Like if, just to give you a simple example of people who don't know how expensive it is, it's convenient.
Convenient.
I will add that, but expensive. That if I go from my home to office, it's around 50 dirhams. For the same amount, I can buy a petrol and travel like for the whole week. So it's expensive. Get your driving license as soon as possible. I'm trying to. So
But I think the company Bolt even like had a successful setup in the other regions in the Middle East, such as Saudi and Egypt, and even in the Europe and the Africa.
Yeah.
So I believe it's a good startup for them in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. The good thing about it is it's a bigger player than Kareem. So obviously it will disrupt the market. A lot of these people, Kareem and Uber people, Uber bought Kareem obviously. So it's like one big thing in one place. So more players coming in, again, cheaper rides, consumers will be happy, more options to, sometimes it happens, you go to business pay, you try a taxi in the morning, you'll never get it. It's not about the taxi drivers, it's just that it's such a busy area in the morning and in the evening as well, the same situation. So there are like hubs where traffic is so much that the taxi riders don't even want to go there.
True.
So with this Holo app coming in, you'll always have an option of trying another app. Maybe I'll get a taxi.
In case this one doesn't come in.
Yeah. So, good for you. Any other details that I can see?
They even have something about like the green plan. So, they're more towards the sustainable side. So, that's making them even much more better.
Just reminded me, I was reading the press release, the whole detailed press release in the morning. And in the very end, they mentioned that it will have driverless cars in the future as well.
So, it's perfect for Dubai trying out all
the... So, Bolt coming... They're not just coming for the taxi services, the hybrid cars or the normal petrol cars. They're also coming with the idea that they will eventually put the robotaxis, or there's a lot of name, unmanned vehicles on the road as well. So that's it. Microsoft has announced that they will invest $74 billion. They have not announced it, actually. It's a report by International Data Corporation, which was released in Jitex. It was released in Jitex that Microsoft will inject nearly $74 billion in UAE, creating 150,000 plus jobs. That's good future for you, Neola.
And it's one of the largest technology-focused investments in Dubai. Yeah.
So
it's
that's
huge.
Happening. Dubai-born House of Pops, which is a Dubai-born brand, Mazin Kanan. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. He's the founder. He has a co-founder as well. They are now launching in Kuwait. They've partnered with a local company and they're launching in Kuwait. And lastly, Dubai's Damac Group, which is run and owned by Hussein Sajwani, they're investing $1 billion in Thailand data centers. It comes on the back of Google's investment in Thailand, which is also around this number, $1.5 billion nearly. So they're investing that. Data centers are becoming the next big business, because with AI coming in, data centers are the need of the hour. The other day, I was looking at a documentary on Bloomberg, and it was especially focused on the biggest world data center players, the people who own them. And I remember just one comment, and I'll finish with that, that one of the guys, he was the CEO of some very big BlackRock-based company, backed data service center. And he said that Meta, Apple, all the big players, they think that building their own data centers is expensive.
Done.
So they just go out and outsource it. And the question was that they have the money. They can
the
build
money,
their own.
I think it's much better if they build one on their own, but they might have their reasons.
Yeah, so the main reason that guy thought was simple, that they don't want the hassle, I guess. So yeah, data centers, if you have millions of dollars, maybe True. Invest in a data center. Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Neola, for
your
insightful discussions. This is a Smashy Business Show. We're going to come back soon in just hardly one and a half, 2 minutes. And we'll have two guests with us, Michael Hunter and Aaron Summerhall. Summerhill. They're going to join us. They're the founders of Holo. See you soon. Stay with us. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. As I promised, we have the founders of Holo with us. We have Michael Hunter, the CEO, and Aaron, the COO of Holo. Before I tell you about what Holo is, let me just say welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Everything good? Works fine?
Very busy.
Looking forward to the weekend?
You know, busy time of the year. I think as soon as everybody's back in town after kind of the summer breaks, it's always a busy time through to kind of the end of the year. Yeah. So yeah, very, very hectic.
With the events coming up, the property market numbers growing, doing good?
Yeah, exactly. We're between here and the Saudi as well. Oh, yeah. So there's property events over here, startup events, tech events. So yeah, busy time for us.
Did you guys visit Expand Northstar or Jitex by any chance?
We did yesterday. It was a very, very busy event. It's amazing to see the size of the events that are happening in the region.
It's actually good to see the competition there. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Jitex, I'm scared off from kind of past visits about how busy it gets. So we did North Star, which we're based in the marina, so nice, easy access for ourselves. But yeah, you go through and it's just the amount of innovation in there. Companies coming over to obviously exhibit in Dubai is really great for the ecosystem.
Apparently they were boasting 1,800 plus startups. I didn't count.
Yeah.
No one counted.
I'll believe them. It looked like a lot.
Okay. First of all, what's Holo? I have read about it, but I would like the viewers, listeners to understand what Holo is. And then we'll move on to your new app.
Absolutely. In simplicity, we are a home buying platform. And the reason we exist is to make the home buying journey simpler for home buyers. You know, we've seen difficulties in the region, lack of transparency, lack of speed when it comes to financing or the transaction itself. And our goal 4 years ago was to simplify that as much as possible by using technology.
So it's basically a prop tech thing. The whole thing is comes under prop tech, right?
Absolutely. It's digitizing the process from start to finish for our customer base. We had been kind of traditional offline mortgage brokers previously.
Okay.
Got to know each other because it's a small industry, small market. decided that there was a better way of doing things. So we were looking at what was being done in established markets like the US, Europe, etc. And it was taking elements of that and being able to make that process for our customers here in the UAE. So being able to transact on your phone anytime 24/7 for initially the financing, but now we've also factored in assisting people finding their home as well. And you don't have to then go and sit face to face with people.
Okay, so stepwise, how does Holo simplify the mortgage process? Because I understand that it's not easy. There's a lot of paperwork involved. If, for example, let's consider I am a buyer and I come to you and I'm like, okay, I tried the traditional process. Yeah. Lengthy, takes a lot of time, bottleneck. How do you help me? And is there a time frame in which you can get me my mortgage and all the process done?
So I think the main thing for ourselves is we wanted to put instant information at the consumer's fingertips. Yeah. So the majority of people who come to us, before they go and sign for a property, they want to understand if they can afford it. They want to understand what the costs are going to be, what the monthly outlay, what the mortgage rates are going to be. It's still a situation where if you go to the majority of banks over here, that information isn't readily available on their websites and so on. You'll go on, you'll put your name and number in, somebody will call you back within 48 hours. So we thought, okay, how do we improve that? How do we give instant information? And we took what we were doing as offline brokers and we built an algorithm and an online system whereby the questions that we ask you, it will filter out products that you're not eligible for. Yeah. And at the end of that journey, you then get presented with the products, the affordability, everything is there for you. It has a breakdown of the rates, it has a breakdown of the fees. And the good thing is you can get that within 5 minutes. Nice. Historically, you'd have to go and speak to 5-6 banks and so on, wait for them to come back, then you'd compile this information. You wouldn't necessarily be any better off for that. We thought, okay, how can we do this instantly? And that's the initial kind of fact-finding side of things for the mortgage. I'll let you kind of jump on there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the journey doesn't stop there. One thing that we look to do is solve problems. And we believe that we solve the problem on the discovery of the finance. So finding a mortgage is a difficult process. How can we allow you to make your decisions faster as a home buyer? But then what we found was we have all these buyers coming direct to us. You know, what do we do with these buyers? They're going out into the open market. And what we saw is every home buyer will speak to 3 or 4 agents.
Yeah.
Each agent maybe has 10 to 20% visibility on each building or each community. And we work with a lot of partners. So we thought, how can we get our buyers into our ecosystem through the partnerships that we already have and created? And we built something called Hub. Now, what Hub does is it allows...
That's a good transition.
Yeah. It allows our home buyers to then go into our ecosystem and find properties faster. We've got 2,000 agents on our platform. Nice. Internally, we match our buyers with the properties of our partners. And what we found is it sped up the discovery of finding a property by around about 2 weeks. So if you look at the discovery of the mortgage, which takes 4 or 5 weeks, when you spoke to all the banks, you've compiled the information, made a decision, we put that at your fingertips in 5 minutes, so we've saved 4 or 5 weeks there. Now we're saving around about 2 weeks on the discovery phase. And the good thing is you're getting more visibility on the market rather than using 1 or 2 agents by using our concierge.
And I guess the agents will have their own preferences as well in this process. They will show you the markets where their cut is bigger. And so maybe they're not showing you the best property for you. They're showing you the property which is suiting them for the cut that they're getting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think with the agents as well, they'll have, as Michael touched on, kind of limited access within a particular area. Yeah. They might be negotiating on one property already, therefore won't show it to another buyer. Whereas with ourselves, what the customer's getting is you're not having to deal with any fake listings. You're not having to deal with properties that don't exist. You're not having to deal with agents not coming back to you. We have kind of a concierge setup where everything comes through Holo's concierge service, and then you instantly have access to not the whole of the market, but 2,500 agents, and it can really speed up that process. And it's all about making the decision making, the process as stressless as possible.
Sorry to interrupt, but I saw a video of you guys pitching it to the agents, most probably, that they can get 1,000 dirhams, I guess, for just being a part of the process or something. Could you explain that? Because agents would love to get free cash for nothing, right?
It's two-sided. There has to be a benefit to our partners as well as our customers. Our partners get access to buyers instead of having to list properties to acquire buyers. They have buyers directly with us. And one of the other benefits is we are a mortgage company at heart.
Yeah.
We allow the third parties to utilize our mortgage services as well. So all the buyers that go onto our platform are direct buyers to Holo. So they're able to ring fence these customers. And then we have a separate system for the mortgage leads that come through from our partner company. So they don't end up in the concierge side of the business.
Okay. So we've recently launched the new agent app. So it's on Apple and Android stores. So the agents can go online and download this. And it's a twofold app, so they can search for the buyers that we've got direct and kind of match with their properties directly. So you can go on, make a match, you send the link to the property that you have listed, and that gets automatically sent to our buyers to see if they want to view or not. But alternatively, you can give mortgage leads. So they, all of the agents will have buyers who come through and need to arrange financing. Okay, we partner with Holo for that. And the 1,000 dirhams you touched on is an offer that we're running through to the end of the year, maybe extended, we'll have to see. Whereas every mortgage that gets submitted through to us, we then package it up and it gets sent to the banks. The agents instantly get 1,000 dirhams on top of their regular commissions. So that is something that we're... Because it's a new app, we're trying to attract as many people to that platform as possible. At the moment, the account management team who are going around Dubai, you probably saw them on the video, we're signing up anywhere between 60 to 100 agents on a daily basis. So this is really taking off now. And obviously one of the incentives that's drawing them is the additional 1,000 dirhams. And everybody likes cash.
So you're making money for a lot of people. You're saving time for people who want to buy a home. So time is money.
Yeah.
You're making money for agents. How does your system operate? Where do you get the money from?
It's probably quite important to to confirm that we are free to the customer. There's no additional cost. In terms of bank products, we'd often get cheaper, if not the same, than what they would get going direct to the bank. So our service is free and they get the advantage of preferential rates and service at the end of the day. So we monetize from the banks. The banks pay us as a success fee on each mortgage. And this is done as a third-party sales to the bank, effectively. So one of our partnerships, we have to have strong partnerships with the banks, strong relationships.
Do you have a number? How many banks are on roll with Holo?
So typically, there's around about 25 banks in the UAE
offer. Big ones, right? Yeah. The big names.
But actively lending at any given point, 10 to 15 banks.
Nice.
But then you've got international banks as well. Okay. If people from the UAE are looking to buy overseas. And similarly, we spoke about Saudi earlier on. Despite the fact Saudi is a much bigger market, there's about the same amount of banks and finance houses over there. Yeah. But the important thing is to have access to all the banks so that we can give a full holistic view of what's available.
A very funny and interesting number I read yesterday, that one-fifth of the steel that is being produced in the world is right now being used in Saudi Arabia.
Doesn't surprise me.
Because they're building the NEOM project. Apart from that, the whole other project, everything is going on. One-fifth of the steel in the world they're using. So, coming back to your app, let's talk a little complicated stuff. Mortgage rates, they're fixed, they're variable, they keep changing sometimes. Yeah. Central Bank of UAE, I guess, is regulating it. What is your take on it? How does Holo manage that? Do you have a fixed rate, regulated rate, variable rate?
So we obviously offer the products directly from the banks.
Okay.
So whatever our banking partners have available at that time is automatically pulled onto our system. Now, with the dirham being pegged to the dollar, a lot of what we see is obviously going to be governed by what the Fed do. So we'll typically see a cycle of kind of buyers and refinancing. So depending on kind of where the market's at with the interest rates, if you've got high interest rates, then people typically won't, they'll be looking at new purchases. Now we've seen the rates reduce 0.5 last month. Yeah. We're now seeing a slight increase in the number of people looking to kind of refinance or if they've built up equity over the years, refinance and take some equity from their properties as well. So as you go through the Holo platform, you can actually make advised decisions. So we will ask you what type of mortgage you're looking for, whether it's fixed, whether it's variable. You can click to get an overview of what the differences are. The good thing as well, if you're not sure, you can click not sure and one of our advisors will run through the options with you. Interest rates are lower than they have been. A lot of people have asked us, do we see an uptick when the market, kind of the interest rates drop. To be honest with you, I think buyers are buyers regardless. We kind of crunched the numbers on a 1 million dirham loan, and the 0.5 saving equates to about 600-700 dirhams only. Yeah. So if you're looking to buy your first property, I don't think that 600-700 dirhams would necessarily bring you to the market or stop you from buying. But I think the issue that we've seen is the price of properties have been increasing dramatically, but they're actually being outpaced by the cost of rents. So a lot of end users are suddenly thinking, well, okay, I'm no longer going to be paying all of this rent to a landlord. I want to invest for myself and for my family. As long as they've got the savings available, they've got the cash that's available for the down payment, that is what's forcing people to become buyers in the current market. That the rental rates in the last 2 years since post-COVID have accelerated. I think we've all been kind of stung by that at some point. And it does make sense for buyers to be going purchasing their property and paying off their own debt as opposed to lining somebody else's pocket.
So, Michael, another question to you. How are the customers feeling right now? Did you get any negative feedback? Like, obviously, feedback, any form of feedback is good. If there is a problem, you can always make it better. But what's been the general sentiment?
Sentiment in the market or us as a company?
Yeah.
In the market, you've always got people that are pro-buying and people that are maybe a bit more cautious. What we have seen, certainly since COVID, we spoke about that has been a catalyst.
Yeah.
On mindset, not just on purchase pricing. So people have seen this as a home. It used to be a very transient market. Yeah. We've been here for over 11 years each.
Nice.
So we've seen certain cycles in the market. And if you talk to people now, they're coming up for the 5, 6, 7 year mark. Wish I bought 7 years ago. They're entering into the market. We've all been there. We've all wished that we bought at certain points in the ups and downs that we've seen within the market. But the mindset is very much still positive. We do expect going into January it will become extremely busy again. So we do have slight peaks and troughs in transactions. Typically, start of the year is very, very busy. December slightly quieter. We're in a busy period at the moment as well. And then going into summer, it slows down ever so slightly. But the positive sentiment, I believe, is still there. I think we'll see a bit of a softening on prices, though.
I also read that you're the first one in this category in the MENA region. So do you think there is competition brewing up, or have you seen like someone actually copying your, not copying, obviously trying to like implement their own USP to it? Have you seen something?
Yeah, I mean, you always get other people coming into the market. Yeah. And I think the good thing for ourselves is we were the first to launch.
Yeah.
We come from a mortgage and finance background. We had identified the issues that we wanted to solve for our customers. We'd been in the trenches with them. We'd understood what the problems were, and we built to kind of rectify that. You will have other companies coming through who see an opportunity. The good thing for us, people have kind of come on board and they've gone in slightly different directions. The market's big enough for more than one player here.
Yeah.
To kind of touch on Saudi, we recently got our initial approval through from the central bank over there. We're still working on a few issues that we have to box off before we go operational. But we will be the first entity again in Saudi who is solely focused on property and mortgages. And it's about taking what we've learned in our previous guises as offline brokers, adding in what we've learned for Holo in the UAE for the past 4 years, and obviously then taking that out into the Saudi markets as well. So we welcome competition. It puts a spotlight on the industry and what we do. And I think, the market is only increasing. To kind of double down on what Michael was saying, we're seeing these kind of reports. They want to double down on Dubai's population by 2040. People are still coming into the market. They've got to live somewhere.
Yeah.
So there is that sentiment that certainly regionally, Dubai's a nice safe environment, people are welcomed here, they're trying to promote additional business growth, etc. So I think, look, the market's big now, it only gets bigger, and the opportunity for ourselves to kind of move into the Saudi market is huge.
You're talking about people coming in, the Dubai's population is set to reach 4 million by 2026. I was just reading
and the traffic will get even worse on the road.
Didn't go into the details right now, I'll read it afterwards, but it's a lot of people coming in. Second last question, off plan, on plan? What would you suggest? You've been in the market.
Yeah.
These are like few questions. Whenever I find any person who is actually close to the property market, these are the questions. Off plan, on plan. Which one do you think is better?
We're very biased.
Yeah, I would always say a ready property, but it really depends on your personal situation. Yeah. Similar to a mortgage product, there's no one size fits all. Yeah. So if your situation is that you don't have a family and you don't need to put them into a home, maybe you've not been evicted, then off-plan might be an option for you. But certainly from a family standpoint, which we're seeing most people in the market are end users currently. Yeah. With interest rates historically being so high, investors maybe took a bit of a back step. So as interest rates drop, we'll see them enter the market again and they might opt for things like off-plan. But for end users, they're pushed to off-plan when there's no available properties. And we're seeing that in a lot of communities at the moment, that there's just not a lot of stock in these prime locations. So it doesn't answer your question fully. It really is a case of, depends on somebody's situation.
Yeah, the market dictates a lot of this. I mean, we remember the days in 2014, 2015, where we had clients coming to us who'd bought at the peak 2012, 2013, and they paid premiums for those properties. And it's great, at that point you expect it's going to continue. The problem is people were coming through to the handover stage where they then needed to arrange financing to complete the purchase. And the property values, I had a client in mind and he'd paid 2,500 dirhams per square foot. They were currently valuing that at 800. So he ended up actually giving a lot of properties back to the developer because he didn't have the funds to complete on that. So I think in an upwards market like we're seeing and we've been seeing for the last 4 years, off-plan is a very good sell. You can put your money down. Once it completes, you're probably going to have made some money on that. If the market does take a turn as well, then it's a very different kind of outlook on that. So I think to reiterate what Michael said, if you're buying a family home, make that your first purchase on something ready. If you want to then speculate with investments, off-plan, etc. subsequently, then there are good opportunities out there.
Another fun question. If I have 5 million, do I buy 5 properties for 1 million or do I just buy one property for 5 million?
It's again the investor versus end user.
Like, what would you do? Yeah. Let's come out of whole learning. What would you do? Because you've been in the market, and again, you've been on the business side, bank side of it, mortgage side of it. But what would you do?
Like, we sit at very different ends of the spectrum through kind of how things have worked out. So Michael's bought his family home, he's renovated it, and he's got his family living in there. I'll put my hands up and say I missed the boat post-COVID on buying, so I now buy small investment properties, renovate and lease them out. So we've approached it two different ways. I don't own my own family home here, I do in the UK, etc. But somebody gave me 5 million today, I'd buy a nice apartment on the Palm.
Okay. I'm the flip side of it. Exactly what you've mentioned, I've got the family home now. So for me, it would be putting that into further investment properties. So it depends on your situation. If you've got that family home, that foundation, if you do see yourself here for the next 5 years, definitely hedge yourself against rent and buy a property. Elsewise, that can become an investment afterwards and you can rent it out. So if you've got 5 million, I think the one answer I would say is speak to us. We'll have a more in-depth conversation about what we can put in place for you.
Okay, one last question. Holo analytics, you would see it every day. You would know them by heart. Which is the most busiest area, do you think, right now in luxury, mid-property, like the lower one? Which are the prime places which people buy in all three categories, like the low income category, mid category, and the luxury category? So any idea? Do you get those?
Yeah, for us, typically you'll see finance buyers, so it tends to be the mid range. So average loan amount typically is around about the 2 million mark. So you'd be looking at purchase prices between 2 and 3 million, which is going to be your family homes again, rather than investments. But that being said, we've seen a lot of high net worth transactions take place, and we've managed to facilitate finance on quite a few of them recently as well. Obviously, don't happen as often, but our numbers suggest that the most buoyant part or the most active part of our marketing goes towards first-time buyers or refinancing from existing customers.
Any specific area preferences by them? Or they just buy by seeing the price, not the area?
Yeah, I think that the areas have changed over the last 2 years. So what you've typically seen is somebody has a 2.5 million budget. The 2.5 million budget still stands, but rather than being able to buy in the Springs, for instance, they now might be looking at townhouse and villa areas on Al Qudra Road, like your town squares and your mirrors historically. So I think for ourselves, we have, I mean, to give you a kind of headline figure, we get about just short of 3,000 applicants coming through our website on a monthly basis. And these are made up from people who are looking to purchase their first home or refinance. But I mean, if you look at kind of the figures, the reports are saying like JVC is booming at the moment. We get a lot of that. Again, we don't touch a lot of the off-plan stuff. So you've got your, like your Shoba developments and so on, where there's a lot of off-plan transactions going through. But for ourselves, it seems to be kind of the lower kind of the mid-scale valuations of kind of you're like 2 to 3 million, so your townhouses and so on. And there was a shift in trends post-COVID. I think even though we had a very small lockdown and everything was managed very well, there was a notable shift from people buying apartments to wanting townhouses and villas to benefit from that outside space. So yeah, I mean, it's a mixed bag for ourselves at Holo, but we do get a lot of kind of applicants coming through across the whole of Dubai.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you so much, Michael. Just to give our audience a feel of what the mortgage market is, in 2023, the UAE mortgage market witnessed a double-digit growth. So they're doing good. These guys are doing good. Thank you so much. Just before we end the show, any last minute, like elevator pitch for people who are interested, listening, and they want to use the Holo app, anything that you want to say, 2-3 sentences, an elevator pitch to them, like this is what we do, come to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're centered around the customers. So if you come to our platform, you're going to get the information you need straight away. So you are in a position to make an informed decision on your home buying capabilities. So make an application, take that experience, and you'll be open to a lot more options, not just on the finance, but on the property side as well, than conventional methods.
Yeah, and visit us today at useholo.com. You can start your journey with us immediately.
Thank you so much. It was nice to have you guys. To be honest, I never read about the mortgage market a lot before this, but now I'm very interested in it. It's a very funny market under the property, the whole property giant that we have. Thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much for listening to us. If you've missed any part of the show, if you've joined us in the middle, you can go to YouTube. You can go to all our social media channels and you can rewatch this show. You can find us on all the listening platforms, Apple Podcasts, Anghami, Podio distribution platform, wherever there is a listening or a viewing platform, we're there as Smashy Business. We had great guests today and we discussed a lot of stories. So make sure to go back and see the whole show. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last day of Jitex as well. Jitex Global is going to close. 5-day event finally coming to an end. We'll report about that as well. And lastly, this was the Smashy Business Show brought to you by Smashy Business Production Team, and it's part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. See you tomorrow.